Today on Awakened to Grace, we are in part two of a sermon called The Priority of the Lord's Prayer. If you have missed any part of this series so far, I hope you'll go back and listen, because we are walking our way line by line, verse by verse, through how Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Today's focus is where Jesus taught us, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, friends, we're going to unfold each line of this, each word of this amazing verse. We're going to learn what Jesus meant by what is the kingdom, as well as how is the will of God accomplished on the earth just as it is in heaven. I hope you enjoy today's episode of Awaken to Grace. If you've never downloaded our free mobile app, go to your App Store or Google Play and download Awakened to Grace, and stay current with all of the life-changing sermons we share from God's Word. Well, let's get to it today. I hope you enjoy part two, The Priority of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Are you in the Lord's house every Sunday? Now, Sunday's not the Sabbath. Saturday's the Sabbath. Sunday is the Lord's day, Acts 20, verse 7. Do you give the first of your week to God? Let me tell you, if you want a good regimen, if you want a good rhythm to your life, start your day right by giving God the first of it. Start your week right by giving God the first day of it. Don't make it legalistic. Don't make it chore. No. But say, God, as I start this week on this Sunday, I'm going to be in the Lord's house. I'm going to go and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to learn from your word. I'm going to go and serve. I'm going to go and love on somebody. I'm going to go and make new friends and new brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm going to go pour out so that you may pour into me. Give your first part of the day to the Lord. Give your first day of the week to the Lord. And I'm telling you, your weeks will begin to turn around. Number three, give the first of your income to the Lord. What a wonderful scripture. Proverbs chapter 3. I've always loved Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Lean not upon your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." What a great verse. But let me tell you what verse 8 and 9 say. 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, and with the first fruits of all of your produce. What a tremendous principle. You know, I share on our Awakened to Grace app, I share a series, a little short series called The Joy of Giving. And in it, I share very transparently how giving was a major struggle for me and Sadie. You know, we gave all of our time, we give all of our energy, we give all of our focus to the Lord. But when it come to tithing, boy, we failed. Several years ago, we turned the ship and we got it right. And let me tell you, verse 10 is as true as verse 9. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Remember some months ago we talked about that word honor? We were studying the verse that says honor one another, and we said the word honor is when you esteem someone. It's, in other words, it's when you put someone's needs above your own. So if I'm going to honor you, I'm going to be more considerate of your needs than I am of my needs. You know what it means when we honor the Lord with our wealth? Don't miss this. Thy kingdom come. Seek first the kingdom. You know what we do when we tithe to the Lord? We put God's kingdom above our daily bread. Amen. We put God's kingdom above the mortgage and above the rent, above the car payment, above the vacation, above the groceries. And you may scratch your head and say, Chad, that doesn't make sense. No, it does when you understand. Our Heavenly Father knows all that we have need of. Amen. Honor the Lord with your possessions. And listen, you want to get things right. Give God the first part of your day. Give God the first part of your week. Give God the first fruits, the first part of your income. What does the word first fruits mean? It means that you bring your first to the Lord. God began to teach me, Chad, I mean, we would give if we could. And you know what the Lord taught me? Chad, you're giving me what's left, not what's right. God said, reverse it. Give me what's right and live on what's left. Because here, my friend, here's the beauty. Verse number 10. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. Isn't that a promise? You're going to have everything that you need when the order is right. Give God what's right. Some people say it like this, and I think this is right. A lot of us eat our cake and give the Lord the crumbs. Don't eat the cake and give the Lord the crumbs. Give the Lord your first fruits. And when you do that, God's going to take care of you. Amen? So, give God the first part of your day, Psalm 5:3. Give God the first part of your week. Acts 20, verse 7. Thank you. I heard 7. That's all I could make out. Give God the first of your income. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Listen, number 4. Give God the first consideration in all of your decisions. Now listen, 2 Corinthians 8, 5. The Bible says they gave themselves to the Lord. Do you give God the first consideration in every decision? You know, if you've made the mistake that I've so often made, I've made decisions and then asked God to bless them. Again, there's an order, friends, right? There's a divine order. And sometimes I get that order out of sync. I have been prone to make key decisions, big decisions, and then ask God for His favor. No, what I should have done is had the order right, and I should have given God the first consideration as I've devoted myself to the Lord and given myself to Him. I should give God the first consideration of every decision that I make. Where I'm going to live, where I'm going to work, who I'm going to marry. Listen, don't just make decisions. Give God the first consideration and say, God, is this your will? And then, you know what the beauty of that is? You know what the comfort of that is? When you have big decisions to make around job and money and children and marriage and family and retirement and all these huge pieces of the puzzle of our lives, you know where the real comfort comes? Is when your interest is God's interest, and you're seeking first the kingdom of God, and you're praying your kingdom come, then as you pray, your will be done, then you can walk with confidence. Amen? Because your heart's right, and because you're seeking the will of God. And even if things don't pan out like you thought they would, if God doesn't allow things to go as smooth as what you had hoped, whatever the case, you have the confidence that you sought the will of God and things are going accordingly to how God desires them to go. That's a blessed thing in life. Now, lastly, I close with this. So Jesus teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God. He teaches us to make God's interest our primary interest. And then God takes care of all of our interest. I want to close with this. If you are like me and most every other human, you struggle with worry. Don't we so often struggle with worry? But listen, as I've incorporated these principles into my life, I'll be very honest with you, and I don't say this in a prideful way. I worry less and less and less and less and less. Let me give you a great definition of worry. Here's just a few more things to take note of. Worry is when you make things first and God last. Worry is when you make things first. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough of this or enough of that. Worry is when you put things first and God last. Faith is when you put God first and things last. God can give you all the things He needs you to have. Amen? Now, let me share with you just a few real quick things. Number one, worry is needless. For a Christian, worry really is needless. Why is it needless? You know what Jesus says about the birds of the air? He says, look at the birds. They neither labor nor toil. They don't sow. They don't reap. And yet your, what's he say? Heavenly Father feeds them every day. Now, isn't that something? You know, the richest man in the world could not feed every bird on this planet. It would bankrupt him. And yet Jesus does it day in and day out. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. It's needless. Number two, worry is useless. Jesus said, listen, what man by worrying can add one inch to his height? It's needless. It's useless. If you could change whatever it is you're worrying about, if you could do something to change it, then do it. But you know what? For most things we worry about, there's nothing we can do. It's useless to worry about it. You see what I'm saying? A woman said one time, she said, well, no, worrying does help because most of what I worry about never happens. That's wrong thinking. Worry is needless. It's useless. Listen, worry is senseless. It doesn't make sense. Is God your Father? Do you desire His will? Is God faithful? Is God true? Are His promises yes and amen? Then it's senseless. It doesn't make sense to always worry. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't take you anywhere. Lastly, and here's the worst of them all, worry is faithless. That's the worst. It's needless, it's useless, it's senseless, but it's faithless. And why is it faithless? Because God invites us as His children, casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He's your heavenly Father. Why? Because His kingdom has come in you. Why? Because His will is being done in you. Because He cares for you. Lord, we're sorry for our worry. Oh, God. We repent of it, Lord. Those things that are within our control, well, God, Help us to whip into shape and control. And God, those things that are far outside of the realm of our control, God, they are in the realm of your domain. And that's why with such confidence, Lord, we can say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, may your kingdom be exercised in me. Your reign and your rule, your domain. God, may there be no resistance in me, no rebellion in me, no faithlessness in me, Lord. But God, may you exercise your power, exercise your domain, exercise your great will, O God. Exercise it in me. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, perhaps today you would like to come and kneel around this altar or sit or stand, whatever you need to do. Maybe you just want to slip out of your seat, come forward and say, God, exercise your will in me. You come now. You just come and pray. Maybe today you want to go home different. Maybe today you've been carrying a burden far too heavy, and yet Jesus says, come and take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and my burden is light. Trade your burdens today. Maybe you need to come today and consecrate yourself anew and afresh. And say, God, this has had me distracted. This has had me distracted. But God, today, I'm making your kingdom the priority. Maybe you don't give God the first day of the week. Maybe you don't give God the first of the morning. Maybe you've withheld the first of your income. Maybe you don't give God the first considerations. Today you want to come and say, God, today your priority. Today you're the first. I give you what's right and not what's left. Perhaps you're in a decision today. Maybe you're in the throes of a great decision and you don't know God's will. Well, seek his kingdom, my friend. Come today and let the kingdom be exercised. Let the realm of God's domain be exercised in your heart and in your mind and in your will, in your emotions and in your decisions, in your life, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your employment, in your finances. Let the realm of God's domain be inside of you. God, we yield today. God, we surrender today. God, we obey today. Lord, we take serious these words, God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done right here in us, in our lives, in this church, oh God, on the earth as it is. Heaven, with no resistance and no rebellion. Oh God, oh God, may we never resist your will. Perhaps today you've been resisting nudges from the Holy Spirit. Nudges where the Holy Spirit's telling you, do this, obey this, go here, be part of this, talk to this person, give this, submit this, give up that. Maybe you've resisted. Friends, don't resist the will of God. Maybe God's convicted you of a sin. Maybe God's convicted you of an attitude. Maybe God's convicted you of something of the past you won't let go of. Maybe God's convicted you of a memory. Maybe God's convicting you right now of an addiction. Let the kingdom of God come inside of you. Let God's will be done Maybe you're contemplating leaving your spouse. Maybe you're walking away from your children. Let the kingdom of God come inside of you. Let God's will be done in Jesus' name. Put God's desires above yours. Above yours. Above yours. Above yours. Hallelujah, God. Work in our hearts today, God. Work in our lives. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we yield to you. Oh, God, we submit to you. Your will, not ours. Your way, not ours. You are the potter, God. We are the clay. You are the creator. We are the creation. You are the father. We are the children. You are the shepherd. We are the sheep. And we yield in every way. We yield in every way, in every regard, in every manner, in every aspect, God. We withhold nothing from you, God. We withhold nothing, not a thing, not our thought life, not our heart, not our health, not our decisions, not our, even our emotions, God. Not our ambitions and not our plans, not our resources. We withhold nothing from the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. Thy kingdom come in me, God. You walked the earth, Jesus, and you healed people in the Gospels. You would tell them, the kingdom has come near to you. Thank you, God, that the kingdom is within us. The kingdom of God. Oh, you invite us in. Us liars, us thieves, us poor, us naked and blind and wretched and crippled and lame, you invite us into the kingdom of God. How can we ever keep you out of our lives when you invite us in? So know, Lord, today we pray with new fire. Today, God, we pray with new fervency. Today, God, we pray with new revelation. Today, we pray with a new understanding, a new insight. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth. As it is in heaven. Are there sweeter words? Are there truer words? Like Peter, Lord, where would we go? For only you have the words of eternal life. Where would we go? Where would we go? We come to you.